investigators, and welcome back to our video podcast, Into the Darkness, where my friends and I play the Call of Cthulhu role-playing game. I'm your host, Tom Rayleigh. It has been said that the devil is in the details. If you've been listening for the last couple of weeks, you'd know that that's true. Our campaign is entitled Beyond the Mountains of Madness, and we're about to begin episode 4. It was written by Charles Ingen and Janice Hill, along with a dozen or so other people, who are in the credits at the end. Simon Ward will be given the recap, and our GM for this evening is Sean Little. Okay, enough of the intro. Players are ready. Let's begin our journey into the darkness. Simon?
Due to the news, Acacia Lexington was also trying to get to the South Pole. Dr. Lindebrook suggests Charlene Whitson to join us, and she's soon part of the crew. We spend our time sorting out things aboard the SS Gabriel. Nigel Brixton returns with our aircraft. We're still getting plenty of attention from the reporters who are looking for that scoop. Captain Sugden gets a weird note from somebody who sounded very mentally unstable, trying to scare us into not going. Even though we are busy, Captain Sugden and myself decided to have a little fun with the press to kill the time. We're anxious to get going, I think. Next day, we're sad to read about the cold-blooded murder of Captain Douglas. Dr. Lindenbrook and Mr. Jones are at the library trying to find out about the Lexingtons. The rest of us are aboard the Gabriel. Elmer suggests a stop at the Westbury Hotel to learn about Captain Douglas. And then they get stopped by the cops.
Oh, great. Here come the cops.
You hear the feet thumping. Police officer looks over the edge of the railing, looks left and right, yells down to the guy at the desk, "Is that our coffee yet?" Guy looks back up. He says, "Nope, I'm not getting it for you." He says, "Yeah, whatever." Cop turns around, walks back. You hear another set of footsteps also walking in the opposite direction. Guy at the desk looks at you and just says, "Yeah, they're waiting for their coffee."
Oh. At the end of the last episode, the cop said to us, "Hey, you, stay there."
Well, he yelled that before he saw who it was.
I see. All right, cool.
Oh, what, he recognized this?
Or no, he is.
He thought he recognized you. Let's just say he ran to the edge. But it sounds more friendly now upon reflection.
Okay. Maybe we can find out some info from the cops then.
We dodged that one. Yeah, I'm okay with that. See if we can.
Well, let's take them their coffee.
Did they order it? I'll ask the concierge.
Yeah, they sent some young flunky came by, brought them some other stuff, and they sent him off for coffee.
Well, let's just wander upstairs and.
Mm-hmm. What do you want to do an idea roll?
Just wander into a crime scene.
Well, we won't just wander in, but we'll go upstairs and we'll excuse me, you know, and go from there.
Could one of you do an idea roll though first?
Sure. I'm 7 short of an idea.
Should I roll?
Yeah, see if you get the idea.
There we go. 28.
Okay. Tom, you're drumming your fingers thinking, I'm sorry. Dr. Lindenbrook, you're drumming your fingers, looking at the counter in front of you. The guy's lost interest. He's turned around. Elmer, you notice that as he's turned around, he's left the book open.
The login. Well, I know he did tell us that he's been here for 3 days. 2 to 3 days. So yeah, maybe I can, without actually turning the book, maybe I could see if he signed in with somebody else for me.
You notice the bottom of the page, there hasn't been anybody in the last day or so. You see his name. He's been there 3 days, and you see the room next door. Someone else has signed into it and then signed out since that time. Hmm. Named Southcott.
Southcott.
Southcott. Last name Southcott?
Yes. S-O-T-H-C-O-T-T.
Okay, I'll make a note of that. Anything to me right now?
Do you think that maybe the captain was thinking about ditching us and going with the other group, or maybe somebody was trying to persuade him to do that, and he refused, and that's what got him murdered?
Well, let me, I think it's probably safe I could tell you now. So the reason I wanted to stop here, Mr. Moore, he approached me and asked me to sort of babysit. Shoot, I just forgot his name.
The general?
Douglas, sorry. Douglas. He asked me to sort of babysit Douglas. He said that he was coming here tonight, and he didn't want any publicity. And I had the feeling like maybe since I was kind of going a little crazy with the publicity, that maybe he was maybe punishing me and trying to keep me away from the press. But either way, it didn't come across as way. I was just reading into it. But what was the weird thing is that he told me, he says, you know, keep this on the down low. He's keep this quiet. And not even, I think, a day later, and Starkweather made the big announcement to the group that he was joining our group. So it went immediately from keep this secret to he tells everybody. And then now this happened. So it was just, there's a lot of weird timing into this whole thing. Anyway, I just wanted to explain why I came up with this. I was supposed to meet him here tonight.
So you hadn't met him before?
No, no.
So you think maybe it was a faux pas on the part of Starkweather to announce too early, maybe?
So I'm wondering. I think maybe Starkweather might not have been on the same page as Mr. Moore.
And if there was somebody listening who is trying to sabotage us in some way.
Now, when he initially told me, he made it sound as though it was just for publicity reasons, that Mr. Douglas just wanted to be, he was a private person. He didn't want to be harassed. I didn't necessarily take it as like he was trying to secretly board the ship or anything like that. It was, but now I can't help but wonder.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's a valuable individual. He's been there before, so I can see that more than probably every single group wants him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, having completed the trip already.
It seems really sinister, though. I mean, this is, after all, just an expedition. So you wouldn't kill somebody for, you know, that just seems ridiculous. I mean, I know I mentioned the stuff about the orchids and stuff, but that was a little bit different. This, you would just murder somebody because you didn't want them to lead some other group.
Yeah.
That seems really weird. I wonder if there's anything more we can find out from the cops. Let's find out.
Well, I don't want to get arrested, so.
Well, Elmer, just one thing. When you were looking at the book, you'll note that Mr. Douglas, Captain Douglas, was staying in room 23, and Mr. Southcott, his name is actually Anthony Southcott, was staying in room 21. And as you look up, you notice that the keys are on the wall with the different numbers. Both keys are sitting there behind the wall, like on the wall rather, behind where the fellow stands.
Both keys, meaning...
Now that's...
That's weird, because shouldn't Douglas have the key on him?
Right.
I can see a Southcott checked out.
He did check out.
23, you say?
Well, I don't see any reason why either one of us would be arrested. I think that we're members of the expedition, and we were expecting Douglas as part of our expedition.
Yeah, and I think I'll probably come clean. I'm not going to try to hide anything.
Yeah, I don't see any reason. The police would probably like to know that.
Yeah.
Let's talk to the police.
Why don't you take the lead?
All right, so we go upstairs. And okay. We're not going to walk into the room, but we're going to, I mean, obviously they'll have somebody near the door. Excuse me, officer.
Yes, sir. What can I do for you?
I don't know if you recognize either one of us. We're part of the Starkweather Moor expedition, getting ready to leave for the Antarctic. Was he Captain or General Douglas?
Captain
Douglas, who I'm sure that's who you're investigating at this point, was supposed to captain our vessel to the Antarctic, and we heard about his murder, and we've come here hoping to find out what happened.
I honestly, my job's just to keep people out of here right now. It's a crime scene inside there. There's Detective Hansen is in charge of the investigation.
Do you mind if I speak with him, or?
He's not here right now.
He's not?
No. Nope. We've already done our part here. We're just guarding the room until it's cleared by him to leave it for them to clean, or open it up for them to clean.
All right, well, we're not leaving for a couple of days. Can I give you my card? And
certainly.
Please have Detective Hansen give me a call, and if there's any information I might have that might be of use, I mean, there may be the possibility that this was done, the murder was committed by some rival group, although that seems very unlikely, but.
Ooh, you should really bring this information to to Detective Hansen's knowledge.
Yeah, it's probably nothing, but you know, we are concerned.
Sorry, officer, did you say this was a crime scene?
This room where the deceased, that's his room behind me. Until we're cleared, we can't let anyone in there.
Right.
Okay. He wasn't killed here. Right?
Nope, not that we know of. But don't tell that to the newspapers. Don't be going spreading rumors.
Yeah. No, okay. All right. Well, thank you very much. And on the way out, I'm going to ask the concierge also about Mr. Anthony Sothcott. Is he familiar with him? Does he know who he is?
I know who he is. Yeah. He's the guy who asked for room 21. He said it was his lucky number. Had to have that room.
Is that room vacant right now?
Yep, he signed out when I was off duty. Or checked.
But, can I rent the room from you today?
Sure, you could rent the room, or I could possibly just let you take a look at it.
Huh, okay, yeah, thank you.
That's very nice of you. Can I ask also a question? Is the key for 23, how did you get that back?
We have duplicates.
It's a duplicate?
Yep.
All right.
We put it back up when the police came to look into the room. We pulled the duplicate out of the back room, threw another numbered log tag on it, and hung it up.
All right. So the original key that Captain Douglas had is lost.
But I understand it's at the bottom of the harbor.
All right. That makes sense. Elmer, you wanted to see the room?
Yes, please.
It might cost a bit of money, though, you know, seeing as it's right next door to a crime scene.
Hey, the man was probably then broken.
Of course. $3?
That's like $30.
Well, $40.
He just waits. Just has the key under his hand.
table. All right. Perhaps $2. Why, look, it's going away. Hello, it's going away again. $1.
Key can go right back up on the hook.
And the money can go right back in my pocket. And then you won't have it.
Holds his hand out, whatever you're offering, and he'll take it.
Give you the $3.
He says, you didn't get this from me. My back was turned.
All right. So, your key, Albert.
Thank you. I'll pay you back.
Can we we'll make our way back upstairs. Not trying to like dodge the cops, but not trying to be obvious about it either.
Right.
Well, he's actually, when you get to the top of the stairs, he's actually walked down to the end of the hallway and he's looking out the window.
All right.
Looking out with his hands on his hips. Wait, he's looking for coffee is what he's looking for, yeah.
All right.
Try the key to go in.
Flipping. Oh, yeah. Door unlocks quietly. They're well oiled in this sleepy little hotel.
Not sure what we're going to look for or find here, but is there a connecting door by any chance?
Maybe.
Well, yeah. As a matter of fact, there is.
Probably. How many police were outside in the hallway? Just that one?
You saw the one, but the hallway turned. It was down a little farther and turned to the right, so you did hear a second set of footsteps, though.
But nobody was in, well, nobody was in the room?
No, not that you could see. The cop was standing out front, crossing his arms, drumming his fingers, waiting for coffee.
I think if we're concerned about getting arrested, this is probably not the thing to do, is to go in there. Mm-hmm. When the cop told us not to, but...
He told you not to go in room 23.
Right, right. But I'm talking about going through the middle door. And
I know.
Yeah.
Should we poke around in this room?
Well, let's see if there's anything in this room. If the guy left, then he probably took everything with him. But and it's probably been cleaned.
Yeah.
But we have a look around.
You look around. It's definitely a messy room. But no scraps of paper, like it's just a bed, messy bed.
Okay. Could there be any evidence that the connecting room door was jimmied as opposed to they were friends, you know?
I would say no.
No? Okay.
So
is it locked?
Yes, it's locked.
Okay. Is there, I'll go over to the window. Is there any way to like go out this window and come in that window?
You could.
There's enough ledge or?
No, there's a window with a ledge and there's a, if you're going to look casually, you'll see there's another window with a ledge, but there's no adjoining.
It would be extremely dangerous, right? Okay. I'm just thinking that if the person went into his room, knocked him out, chloroformed him, and it could have happened like that, but I think that we're making a lot of assumptions, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
This could just be they got beat up at a bar or something. And
yeah.
None of this has anything to do, but it's good. We'll keep this all in our hip pockets as information.
Yep.
What else do you want to do? Anything?
Does our key fit in the middle room? Or the middle door?
No.
Usually both of those lock from the outside, and both parties have to unlock them. I can open my door, but I can't open his door.
Mm-hmm. And vice versa. Two doors.
Right. All right.
Okay. Yeah, I can't think of anything.
Hopefully the cop is still down at the end of the hallway. All right. Shall we go?
Yeah.
Okay. We quietly leave.
Okay. Well, let's get back to the boat for a few minutes.
Okay.
All right, people on ship. You get to the docks and you see the gate up. It says no entry. Ship is closed down for the day. The office at the dock is also closed down.
Oh, and then what you do about it?
Were we, yeah, this were we told about this in advance? Was this?
No. At the hotel. You see people standing around confused, who you normally would see on the ship. A lot of them are getting back into the cabs or just wandering over to restaurants. Just nobody seemed to advance to anyone.
I'm going to head into town for an hour or so. I'll go purchase a gramophone and a good selection of 78s to play on it, classical and jazz and stuff. And then I'll come back to the ship to see if it's opened up for business when I get back.
Okay.
Well, I might as well get on with my plan to go and buy some tobacco.
Easier done than said. Not a problem.
I guess I might as well go back to the hotel.
Okay. Dr. Hawks?
Do you know what? I'm going to go for a walk into town, grab a newspaper, maybe something to eat. Just go, you know, waste a couple hours.
Okay.
So.
All right. All of those things are easy and take very little effort on your part. Who's going back to the hotel? Nigel, you're going back to the hotel.
Yep.
You get there, there's even Not more time. Of a crowd. There's more of a crowd than you left, than when you left, rather.
Push on through. New, to the other side.
People, strangers, everybody's milling about.
Well, there's nothing to do but push on through.
All right. Where are you heading to in the hotel?
I guess to my room.
All right. Well, you're going to have to take the stairs, not the elevator.
Okay, take the stairs.
Yep. You get up to the fourth floor, and you see there's actually a lot of people going up and down the fifth floor as well.
What's on the fifth floor?
That's where Mr. Starkweather's room is.
Oh.
And the office, the actual office where you're interviewed earlier.
Well, I'll go up and mill around Starkweather's office, you know, just see if there's anything up there that I could do. If not, go back down to my room and take a nap.
All right. You can push your way up to the fifth floor. Upstairs, like, it's chaos. Reporters everywhere. The hallway's crowded. Flash bulbs going off all the time. The air is thick with hot glass and cigarette smoke from the flash bulbs and the cigarettes and cigars. You see a few guests trying to get to the stairs in the elevator to get the hell out of there, trying to carry their luggage they want to sign out to get out. Everybody's being asked questions left and right by reporters, even people who have nothing to do with the expedition. They're just desperately trying to find some kind of information.
Just ignore. See if
someone identifies it. Nope. Luckily enough, no one bothers you right now.
I've trained them. Well, I mean, like I said, go up to the office and see if they need me for anything like that.
Well, you pass by Mr. Starkweather's suite. Oh, yes. So on your way to the office, you pass by Starkweather's suite. The door's open, but it would be impossible to get in there. But could you make a listen roll?
Listen. Yeah, okay, let's see. Ooh, and I made it.
All right, you hear lots of snatches of conversations between reporters and others. Everybody's saying, Starkweather, he's mad. He's just doesn't, what's he saying? I can't hear him. He's just rambling. but you can't really get any farther than the hallway door. And but you do notice one thing. Down the hall from the suite, in a small area where there's nobody standing around, the guy's probably ticked everybody off with his looks. There's a guy sitting in a chair, leaned back against the door, writing in a notebook. He doesn't seem to be paying any attention to what's going on around him.
Do I recognize him?
Nope. He's got a rumpled suit, stained hat, coat. Might look like a reporter, but he seems a little overly calm as a reporter. He doesn't seem to be up talking to people or asking questions.
I'll mosey my way down there.
All right. He sees you coming, looks up just with his eyes above his brow. Says, can I help you?
What paper do you report for?
And laughs and says, well, sir, I'm not actually a reporter. And let's see if he recognizes me. He does not. He says, Detective J.J. Hansen, New York Police Department.
Ah, with all these reporters around here. Well, I work for the expedition.
Oh, you do? Really? Come with me.
Okay. I don't like the sound of that, but okay, I go with him.
He's got a little room off to the side, a little table, a bunch of papers and such. He says, what's your job in the expedition?
I'm the pilot.
Okay. What do you know about this Captain Douglas?
Less than you.
You don't know of him?
He's nope.
Captain of your ship.
Not really. We were informed that he was going to be the captain of the ship just the other day, and then this happened. So, I mean, we've never even met him.
Hmm. So when was he supposed to be here? Like, when was this guy supposed to show up?
I'm not really sure. I don't pay much attention to all that kind of stuff. I am the pilot. That's what I do. I'm having a hard enough time rounding up all my supplies and making sure everything is where it belongs. And this guy piloting the ship is just another one of the crew as far as I'm concerned.
Fair enough. I'll tell you what, just so you know, definitely identified he's the captain. Even though it was in the paper, it's not always the case. Yeah, he's two missing fingers from the expedition that he went when he went to the Antarctic before, and all those people got killed.
Well, I'm hoping we'll do a slight bit better this time.
Yeah, we don't think he was murdered. We don't think he was murdered for money because he had money in his pocket. Do you know? Was he on the? He was on the payroll for sure.
That's what we were told. Now, I can tell you this, that there has been enough stuff missing, misappropriated on this expedition that one would almost believe that we were being sabotaged by one of the other groups.
Really? That's interesting. I haven't heard that yet.
I mean, large sums of equipment were missing. And, you know, no one really cares about the sour cream missing, but when parts to your plane go missing, you care about that.
Oh, really? Parts of planes have gone missing.
Parts of planes, climbing gear, survival gear, all kinds of stuff. Stuff vital to the mission went missing, and we had to scrounge about and reorder to get it on hand. And like I said, one or two things missing. Don't question that. But when half the stuff that you're supposed to have is missing, then that's when you start to worry.
Tell you one more thing if you can help me out a bit. There's you guys got anybody on the crew that's let's say 5'9", 250 pounds. There's a shabby coat, fedora. Got a pug nose, cheesy little mustache.
Do I know anybody like that?
You don't remember seeing anybody like that.
No. He goes, well, officer, the only thing I could tell you is there's 30 people on the expedition, not counting ship's crew and various other dock workers. I'm sure there's somebody there that fits that bill. Come to mind, I can't name a name, but I'm sure that there's somebody that fits that bill.
Well, he slips you a card and he says, any information I've given you is confidential, but that's the kind of guy we're looking for. We saw him running away from the dock when the captain was done in. So if you hear anything, if you see anybody like that, please let me know.
Sure thing, I will do. But like I said, I would look at other expeditions and check some of them out because there's obviously sabotage afoot.
Yeah, well, I'm going to talk to Mr. Starkweather about that, but I'll keep my source quiet. I'm here to talk Starkweather, not to hear you are serious suspects in this case, of course, since we've already got a description of someone. Thank you very much.
All right. See you later.
Have a good one.
Go to my room and take a nap.
Goes back to his chair. All right. That's it. He's back to his chair making some notes. He's got a very nodding his head a lot. So
I go back to my room and take a nap.
Okay. Set about ferrying my tobacco supplies to my room on the ship, along with my signed photograph of Anna Held, which I will now install in pride of place beside my bed.
Oh, but you can't get on the ship yet.
Oh, for goodness sake. Is it still, what's going on? I've got all this stuff to put on the boat now. Come on, I'm on the expedition. Look, you know me. I'm on the expedition. Why can't I go on the boat?
Well, you guys are, you've done your shopping, you've got your stuff, and I'll flip back to the hotel for a bit here.
Dr. Big Lindenbrook. Brown paper bag full of tins of Balkan Sobrani. Come on, I can't just stand around in the street. I look like a fool now.
Elmer, the ship's all locked up. Let's just go back to the hotel. Right, can we go back to the hotel?
I'll say by noon you're all back at the hotel. You run into each other. You've done your running around. It's still very busy on the fifth floor. Fourth is kind of less busy, but the alcove, or not the alcove, the lobby is pretty busy as well still.
What the hell's going on up there?
Just the police are investigating.
There's still the sixth. Wednesday the sixth.
I think so.
Believe so.
Just police?
Police and reporters.
Yeah.
Pretty much a madhouse.
Oh, is Mr. Moore up there, by chance?
I did not see Moore.
See if we can find Mr. Moore.
I don't know. Is anybody made an announcement? Is there journey still on?
Well, I think that. That's a good question. If we don't have a captain, yeah. We've got to get a captain. So that's a good question for. Well, I'm sure they'll make an announcement.
Around about noon, there's a meal, and Mr. Moore, and Mr. Starkweather are again not at the meal.
Oh, this is getting a bit worrying now. Do you think they're going? I mean, they can't. They've got so much stuff already. They can't possibly call the expedition off. It just wouldn't be practical at this point.
What bloody hell's going on?
I don't know.
People are talking at the table. Nobody seems to know either. Everybody's just saying that all they heard was temporarily access to the boats has been shut down, but it's going to be opened up again after lunchtime.
Lost.
Nigel, did you say you heard Starkweather talking?
Yeah, he was up there in the office talking to a bunch of reporters.
Okay, so he is here. All right, that's good.
I couldn't even get in the room. There was too many. There was just too many reporters piled up in the room.
Well, I don't know. I hope we, oh my God, I hope this all doesn't end with us having to unpack everything to go home. Surely they can find another captain.
Well, I mean, they need to find someone who's experienced with the South Seas. I mean, a whaler, maybe? I mean, there must be people on the docks.
Well, hell, I mean, I could.
I can imagine all the qualified captains have been snapped up by the old five expeditions. I should imagine.
Oh, unless three. There you go. Now, if two of those others get murdered, then we'll know who it was, because the one who didn't get murdered will be the ship that sabotaged the rest of us. Hmm. I think all of this is just to delay us, you see.
Delays are one thing, but I mean, they've murdered someone. I mean...
Yeah, you know, I'm still... That seems like an extreme thing to do. Why would somebody murder? No amount of fame or... It's not like we're going after buried treasure or something.
Yeah, but... You can
tear him off, buy him off.
Keep this in mind, though. You've got all these expeditions going down there. Only one of them is going to get really fame or credit. And you have grants at stake.
Yeah, but it's just fame. It's not like you're going to make $1 million off of it. You're getting a few thousand dollars to do what you want on your scientific research. Big
effing deal. People have killed for far less.
Well, insane people have. I mean, I mentioned all the fuss over orchids, but then having a prize-winning orchid, you're talking about possibly becoming a millionaire over something like that, but I can't see that with just, we're scientists, come on. Except for that woman, she's not a scientist. She's a, I don't know what, an opportunist.
You know, you say that though, but what you just said, right there in of itself, to a poor man, creating an orchid and getting millions of dollars would be motive. But what would be motive to a scientist?
Well, scientists have the same motive. We want fame.
We don't disrespect
one another. I mean, that would just be, my God, you know, what is this? What are we, animals?
All mankind is animals.
Yes, but some of us are more enlightened than others. I'm still thinking that he was just murdered by some thug. And that we are misunderstanding all of this. In any case, we got to find another captain. Or we don't have to, they have to. Anybody got any ideas? Anybody know any sea captains?
Give me the keys, I'll track.
Yeah, there you go.
Jamie,
I mean, all you gotta do is put your hands on the wheel, point it south.
There's a load of unemployed fishermen at Innsbruck.
I wonder if my piloting skills would help.
They do call it piloting a ship.
Yep, exactly.
That's why they have a little
blank. Well, this could delay us for quite a while though. Like this could be delaying us for another week. Like how hard is it to How easy will it be to find a good ship captain here?
I would think that there are more than four captains out there that you just say, hey, we need a ship captain, and they'll line up at the door. I mean, the employment.
I think maybe the first mate must know someone.
Just as you guys are discussing and talking and everybody else is, one of Mr. Starkweather's junior assistants, you don't even know the guy's name, the guy's like a coffee guy, he comes up to you guys and says to Jimmy, or to Jimmy, to Elmer, he says, well, if you did anything with the information we provided you with the other day,
You cut out there for a second. We're getting a strong vibration.
That was Greg again. Something you adjusted something.
Sean, say what you said again.
Sorry. Elmer, he whispers to you, whispers quietly. Mr. Starkweather wants to know if you did anything with the information he provided you with the other day regarding Captain Douglas.
Mr. Stark, Mr. Moore is the one that spoke with me, I think, isn't it?
It was, but Mr. Starkweather passed the information on to Mr. Moore for your ears only.
Oh. Not until this morning. I didn't say anything to anybody.
Did you meet with Mr. Douglas? I don't have to lean into the camera, sorry.
No, I wasn't supposed to meet with him until tonight.
Well, of course, but he's just wondering if maybe you had any contact with him in advance.
Yeah, no, not to. I was just waiting for the time period, which I think was in the evening, and then I was just going to go over there and meet him there.
Mr. Starkweather and Mr. Moore both would like you to please keep.
Froze again. Sorry, Sean, you froze again.
Oh, sorry.
They would like to know what?
They'd like you to keep the information to yourself if possible.
Okay. I will do that.
That's it.
I'm going to try and chase down Mr. Lindenbrook.
It's easy. You're in the same room.
Oh, okay. Doctor, remember that stuff I was telling you about before about J.P. Douglas?
Yeah.
Don't share that with anyone else yet. I wasn't supposed to tell you.
That you were supposed to meet with him?
Yeah.
Did we tell the cop?
Don't think so.
All right.
Howard, could you do an IA roll?
I'm actually trying to remember. Did I?
Rewind.
14. Yeah, pass.
You think to yourself, "There's probably information in that Mr. Douglas's room, but you and Dr. Lindenbrook can't be the ones to go back. You have to return that key before the cops realize you've got it."
This is getting complicated. Can I pull Dr. Lindenbrook off to the side so we're not whispering the whole time?
Sure.
Yeah, of course.
So I'll share that idea with him. What do you think? Should we try to get one of our crew members to break in?
I don't know.
Seems awful risky. What if they get caught?
I'm confused as to why all the secrecy all of a sudden.
I am too.
And you say it was Starkweather's assistant who came and told you this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which means he knows about it.
Which one? Oh my God. So what you're saying is that there might be something in that room. That what implicates us or implicates? I'm sure they're already going to go through that room with a fine tooth comb. Do we need to get something out before it gets seen? I don't understand exactly what we're saying here.
Yeah, I'm not entirely clear myself.
This is just like that incident that I went through back at the university. The only answer is ultimately Molotov cocktail. But
burn it down.
Nobody can find out.
Okay. So out of our crew here, do you think we should approach somebody? I mean, the bottom line is we need to get that key back. We didn't. We accidentally brought the key with us.
Oh, you mean the key to room 21?
Yeah.
So we just need somebody to drop the key off. We should just mail it to them. Get a post boy, you know. Mm-hmm. Deliver this back. Say, sorry, we kept this. Mm-hmm. And send it anonymously. Then they'll never know where it came from. I'll pay him $2. That's way more than enough. And that's probably your best bet.
Okay.
After all, the guy doesn't know that you have it. He doesn't know who you are. So.
Does he? Yeah. Well, they might recognize us because we've been in the news
for this whole thing. We should go, yeah. Oh, what a tangled web we weave. No, I think let's just get an errand boy to take it back.
Okay.
Go down to the concierge, ask for an errand boy.
Sean, can you move to someone else for a minute?
Yep. Everyone else, Sparky, Captain Sugden, Mr. Hawks, Dr. Hawks, you guys have had lunch. It's now 1:00. You know people are starting to leave. Well, this is everybody knows has this information. And you've heard now that the ship and the docks are back opening.
All right. We'll get my stuff together and take it to the ship.
Sure. Let's go for a walk.
It's a bit of a walk.
Well, I think I might take some of my equipment over there as well.
There doesn't seem to be any direction on what they're expecting people to do right now, but the general word is back to work.
Right. Yeah, I'll just take some of my equipment over there. A couple of bags of mountaineering stuff, and my stash of tobacco, and my signed picture of Anna Held, and go and install them all in my room. She signed that to me herself after a performance at the Coliseum in London.
Who is he or she? Anna?
Anna Held. Oh, you young people, you don't know your mom, do you?
She's a movie star?
No, you see, now the movie star. You see, now there's no appreciation of theatre and music hall nowadays. It's all talking pictures now. It's the ruin of modern society.
She's the one in the new Charlie Chaplin movie, right?
Talking pictures. Honestly...
I saw that one with Al Jolson.
There's already trouble brewing. They're gonna start censoring those films soon. They're gonna have to. They're filthy.
Rig it up so the gramophone player can be played in the ship's tannoy if needed.
play something nice. Play some nice ballads or something.
I've got a selection of 78s, classical and jazz and all sorts.
Oh, big band!
Play all that devil music.
Well, are you all heading back to the ship, all of you?
Sounds like they're all playing something different.
No, I'm still in the hotel.
You're still having a nap. You've woken up to the smell of food.
Oh, it's lunchtime.
There's a buffet put out for everyone. It isn't normally the situation, but because of the shutdown of the ship, that's the case today.
Okay, well, I'll go to the buffet.
And I'm still with Elmer someplace.
Well, you guys are talking off to the side, yes.
Yeah. Looks like everybody went.
So I'm gonna say to... we're still off to the side. Doctor, I think I'm going to approach Sparky and see if maybe we can get into that room. You're welcome to join us if you want.
I'd rather not, but
I totally understand.
Yeah.
Maybe run cover for us somehow, like if it comes up, like if everybody asks where we are, just tell them we
all right. That's
went for supplies.
I'll tell them you guys are just out doing something.
Okay. And then I'll go in and I'll sit down next to Sparky.
All right.
You're there.
Sparky, you up for a challenge?
Yeah, what you want to do?
I think we need to get into Mr. Douglas's hotel room, and I'm not sure how to do it.
You need a lockpick for that sort of thing, wouldn't you? Or you got a key?
I have a key to get into the room next to his, but there's a door in between the two rooms that is locked, and I can't get into that one.
Would you want me to do create distraction so you can try and get in?
I mean, short of breaking it down, which I don't really want to do because there are cops standing outside the door in the hallway. So.
Oh, right. Probably not a good idea.
Yeah, I think we'd have to do it quietly.
Well, if we get arrested, we'll probably miss the expedition.
I know. It's risky. Only other thing I can think of is that maybe there's somebody on board the ship who might be good at picking locks, but I don't know how I would necessarily find him.
Just ask. I suppose it's the only thing to do. I don't think anyone's going to turn you over for a simple question like that.
Maybe.
As long as you don't tell them what it's for until you find out if they can or not, of course.
Yeah.
Sparky, could you roll an idea roll?
Yes.
You know for a fact in your travels while you were searching for equipment on the docks that there's a fellow whose sole job is chaining, unchaining things, undoing locks. He's a locksmith. That's his absolute job on the docks.
I'm
a pretty friendly but a shady looking kind of guy.
Excellent. I'm going to go to deck with Elma and look around the dock, see if I can catch a glance of the chap.
All right. So you guys are heading there at this time?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And approach him as long as he's alone.
Yeah.
Offer him. But I'll let Elma do the talking for him because Elma knows what it's about. But I should introduce him.
Yeah, I will introduce myself too.
With a $5 bill.
Who's with you? Is Dr. Lindenbrook with you as well?
I don't think so. He is nervous about the whole deal, as am I, but I'm pushing forward.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll assume everyone else is on the ship doing regular everyday work type duties or whatever they can find to do. You easily find the fellow. He's storming around the lock area because he's got a list of things on a scrap, a clipboard to do. But he sees you coming and a big smile on his face. He goes, "Hey, you guys bring coffee."
You as much coffee as you want, if you love to help us.
What would you like? What's it for?
Tell him, Elma.
You know about the hubba-baloo this morning, right? With the murder mystery?
Oh, Captain Douglas. Yeah, that's quite a shock.
We might need you to get into his room if you can pick a lock.
Wondering if you could help us.
Well, picking locks is illegal, you know. But
which is why we're willing to pay heavily for someone with such a skill.
Who am I doing this for? I don't really know you guys.
True.
This is just pure curiosity, basically. We don't.
But if you did know somebody, how much do you think they would theoretically charge for such a job? Just an approximation from a personal point of view.
Is this for Mr. Starkweather?
Mm-hmm.
I owe Mr. Starkweather my life. He saved it.
Even so, we'll still make sure you get heavily paid for it.
25 months ago. 25 months ago, he saved my life. I fell overboard. He dove in, pulled me out.
Wow.
I was on the docks. I got into the ship. Shouldn't have been drinking. Fell overboard. He was just taking a stroll. Dove in like a hero. Pulled me right out. So if it's for him, it's absolutely free of charge.
It's for him. And when you get back, I'll make sure you've got a nice hot pot of coffee.
Oh, I'll need a couple. All right.
Get a couple.
When do we leave?
Now, if you can.
Looks at his clipboard.
Give me the clipboard. I'll see what I can do.
If you could, please, that'd be wonderful. Okay. Most of it's just fetching things and making sure things get delivered to different locations. The usual.
I'm getting used to that. So.
Manifests of madness.
Manifests of madness. I should get busy with that.
Excellent. Thank you very much. So he's raring to go. He's rubbing his hands like something exciting to do.
Also, I didn't mean to. If anybody else wants to join me, they can. I didn't mean to.
Sour cream is top of the list.
It is. It's on every list. Now, where's the sour cream?
You actually haven't told anybody else. Sparky's the only one that you told. And me.
And I knew better harmonicas.
Okay.
All right. It's a short cab ride away.
Yeah. Okay.
You're there.
Just quick in and out, look around.
Well, you look in the front door and just a moment. Clear roll. It takes one.
Breaking up again. Sorry.
It's all good. Sorry. The guy behind the desk is no longer behind the desk. He's in a back room getting some papers.
Okay. Who am I with again? What's his name? Should I just call him?
Milo.
Milo. Milo, follow me.
All right, where are we going?
Second floor.
Okay. He's happy to go up the stairs.
And we'll try to time it so there's no cops down the hallway.
The cops are down the way at the other end. They're both looking out the window drinking coffee.
Awesome. Go into room 21, and I'll point to the door. I said, this is the one I was asking. Can you think something you could do that?
Takes out a package of tools. Open.
That's how you do it.
He is a professional.
Do you mind standing at the door and just let me know if you hear anybody coming?
He walks to the door, stands right close, pretty much his ear against it. He just leans and listens. He says, I'm not even watching what you're doing.
Yeah, perfect. I'll open the door and look in.
It's pretty much in a pretty rough condition. It's been turned over. Bed's a mess, papers all over the floor, things are all over the place. So you're going to have to do a search of some sort.
I'm not sure what I'm looking for, but I'm going to look for anything unusual, I guess.
Yeah, spot hidden, something like that.
Oh boy. I failed. 72, and I need a 55.
Well, you just see it's a bit of a mess. You see some things you don't have to actually search. You see out in the open, there's two framed photographs sitting on a counter tipped over now. Pictures of the Arkham and Miskatonic ships from a previous expedition. Bottom corner says 1930. You see what looks like, as you assume, is Captain Douglas standing in a captain's uniform and another fellow with him too. Looks just like him, but younger.
Maybe.
There's papers, letters, personal effects, things like that kicking around. Scrapbook travels to the expedition. It's like his own scrapbook of photos and such from the expedition before.
Don't suppose there's any way I could tell if this has all been turned over by the police or if somebody was here before the police got here.
Some things are neatly stacked. Like there's small bound journals, they're in a nice neat pile on the floor, but not on the desk. So you can assume that somebody's picked them up, looked at them, stacked them neatly.
Okay.
There's some journals. Could try another spot hidden.
Yeah. Nope. 86.
Aha.
What do you got? What would be my, if I try to push the roll, which we never do?
Yeah.
What would be the worst outcome if I fail?
Why should I tell you? Let's just say the floorboards creak. You notice that as you're moving around.
Okay.
Things are wobbly. You see a waste paper basket's been overturned.
Okay, I'll check that.
Lots of balled up scraps of paper on the tabletop. These are all things that they don't look like they mean to anything, but as you look at them, there's a piece of paper that says Starkweather Amherst Hotel WH-5040-10 AM. You know that's Mr. Starkweather's room number.
Oh, okay.
You see another piece of paper that says Gerald Brackman, B-R-A-C-K-M-A-N, and then GR7738. I'll send you all this later.
Is that a phone number at that time period? I know phone numbers had letters in them back then.
You see another piece of paper that says Philip, 1030, 1255, 310, 845, and then in brackets, overnight. Another piece of paper, these are all out in the open, says Wykes Grimes Brewer, silver cup with an exclamation mark. Purple cup, not silver cup, purple cup. Could you do a, I'm not sure what you would roll for this. Do an idea.
I think idea.
Almost
sounds like he's trying to case the joint or something. Pass that, 19.
I'd assume that's a pass, even if idea is not the right thing to roll. Purple Cup's a bar you saw downtown.
Oh, okay.
You did, but you haven't been in it, but you passed it. Two more pieces of paper. One says A. Dot Lexington, QB0505, and like 15 check marks beside it.
These are all loose pieces?
Yeah, these are all just pieces of paper that have been balled up and thrown in the waste paper basket, and since it was knocked over, they're either on the floor or they're on the table. It looks like he might have been throwing them at it while he sat on his bed or something like that. The last thing you find is a partially written letter from Douglas to someone named Philip. And I'll provide that to you now. Just a moment, I have to bring it up on my screen. Actually, you know what? I'll send it to you. I'll send it to you, and then you can choose to share it if you wish. So that's about all you're seeing right now. You do hear some noises in the hallway, and my Milo is saying, hey, there's some movement going on out there.
Okay. Is there a piece of paper and a pencil in the room?
Yep, absolutely.
Can I make some quick notes for myself? I mean, I'm just going to write down that GR738, write down the two names, Gerald and Philip, and then get out of there as quick as I can.
Yep. You can certainly do that.
Okay. Just so I don't forget. And I'll thank Milo and say, let's go.
All right. Milo's ready to go. You're going to...
And on the way out, I'll just leave the key on the counter and just walk out and not say anything.
All right. You can, but as you get to the doorway, you do hear noises. Could you make a sneak roll? Is that like the worst thing you have?
Nobody takes stealth.
A stealth sneak?
I'll try. Yeah, 41 out of 20.
Milo makes it into room 21. As you're going through room 21, you're shutting the door quietly. The door to 23 opens. And you hear someone say, what's that noise? Is someone in the room next door? hear movement and you hear someone turning the knob to the door between the rooms. You shut it, but you can see the knob turning. And it locks automatically when you shut it. But someone's jiggling it. He says, "We got a key for this door."
And at this point, I'll wave to Milo and say, "Let's go."
All right. You guys, right, going out the room to 21, you mean?
Yeah, going out into the hallway, yeah.
All right. You can see the backs of one of the cops standing in the doorway leading into 23.
Okay. Try to exit. Do you need me to do another roll?
Yeah.
Gotta get caught. Yep, 49. Excuse me, officer.
Hey, what are you guys doing? What were you doing? What's going on here? You recognize?
We were here this morning. Just came back to check. Is the detective back yet?
Detective Hansen's at the Amherst Hotel interviewing Mr. Starkweather.
Yeah, I just came from the Amherst. All right, I'm sorry. I won't keep you. I know you guys are busy.
Were you guys in that room there?
What room?
He points at 21.
No. No, we just got here.
Were you trying to get in that room?
I might have jiggled the door handle because I thought that was the room you were in.
Why would you? It's getting a little fishy here, guys. Why would you be doing that?
I was looking for you. I'm looking for the detective.
Do you have anything that could help you with this discussion?
Just take me to jail.
Is this like the definition of a fast talk roll?
I would say something like that. Coercion of some sort.
Charm, fast talk, persuasion.
Charm, yeah, charm will work.
We weren't cops. I didn't take any of that.
That's really shiny.
Someone's going to the Hooskow.
You look really good in that office and that uniform.
Charm's my highest at 15.
At 15?
Yeah.
Not 50.
Right.
Well, your choice. You can...
I will roll. How you doing? No, 82.
I don't know what you tried to charm him with. Your boots are really nice. Are they new? He says, "Fellas, this isn't running with me. You were in that room."
Yes, yes, I was.
And I'm sorry. Why were you in that room?
I'm just curious. I'm just trying to find out as much as I can about our captain because we're scheduled to be on a boat, and he was our captain, and there's a lot of fishy stuff going on, and I was poking my nose where it shouldn't have been.
Well, he looks at the other cop. The other cop's fairly junior. Let's see. Oh, actually, I hate having to click that one before I click roll. He says, "You're lucky you weren't in this room because there's nothing in that room. That we've been through that room with a fine-tooth comb. You're lucky you weren't in this room. I don't want to see you in this hotel again."
Yep. You won't see me.
Give me the key. Holds out his hand.
Yep, I'll hand it to him.
He says, "Thank you. Get out of here."
I told you, Milo.
Milo's like, just whatever. Let's get out of here. And as you leave, Milo says, Why did you call me Milo in front of him?
I don't know. I'm scattered.
All right. Well, here, I'll show everybody. Well, I won't. You got it. Okay. You're done. You can head down back, whatever.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Let's assume everybody's back together now. The day's done. You're back in the wherever you guys want to meet up.
Can we say the restaurant at the hotel?
There is a restaurant. Well, there's a buffet kind of set up.
Where are you guys? Do we mutually or do we not mutually?
I think we wait and see what happens. But if this whole thing gets canceled, I'm grabbing all that equipment and taking it home. Maybe they won't notice.
I turned down a good job to be here.
Yeah, I've got some crampons. I've got my eye on.
Well, what about all the sour cream?
I think there's
well, we'll just divvy that up between us. You know.
Well, I think I might actually have to find a real job.
A lot of people have worked really hard to get that sour cream, and it's unfair that they should have the same shares as people that didn't.
Well, we'll just get what we can before the deckhands get their greasy mitts all over it. Because once the deckhands get down there, that's it. It'll be stripped clean in minutes.
You know what we could do is we could just hijack the damn ship and go do this whole thing ourselves.
You know what those NPCs are like? They're animals, I'm telling you.
Sharing a cabin with non-playing characters.
You know, they don't wash. They soil their own nests.
Well, I don't know. I guess tomorrow will bring a new day. We'll find out what the hell's going on.
It's New York. It's a major port town.
Yeah, they got to.
How can they not find a ship's captain here? I mean, it's an international port.
You walk up onto the deck and yell, "Hey, captain!" And probably three or four of them will hold up their hands and say, "Right here, sir."
Okay, I'm going to come clean to the rest of the group.
Middle of a depression as well. People are desperate for work.
Elmer, what the hell are you doing? Put your clothes back on. you're coming clean?
Not again.
All right. So we don't need to go through the whole thing, but I'll just fill everybody in. The details.
Right.
Trusting everybody, you know, keep this all under your hat for now. Don't tell the press, obviously. And on the way out of the room, I guess what, Sean, I would have grabbed this letter. Okay.
Yes, sorry, yes.
I will share this letter with everyone, I think. It's kind of hard for me to read, so that's fine.
Oh.
Can you guys see that at all?
Yeah, it's a little blurry.
Ooh. Actually, you know what? I just... Somebody want to read it, or do you want me to?
Let's see. I have arrived, as you see, in New York and will be with you in a few days. It will not be as soon as I had hoped, however. I am shipping you some personal things by sail, which ought to get there before I do. Take care and keep these safe for me. I have some other... sorry.
I have some rather
sorry business. Sorry. Here in the city that I must attend to before I can come.
Oh, it gets even worse.
There is a man
named Starkweather who is hiring me for an Antarctic, who's hiring crew for an Antarctic voyage. He's been hounding me for months by letter and by wire. I have no interest in his voyage, as you well know. I swore I would not ever return to that hellish place, and I will not, so help me God. But the man wants me to captain his ship, and he will not take no for an answer. I told him I would meet with him when I arrived in New York. Perhaps he will understand my refrain when I shout it to his face. You may imagine my annoyance when I got here and discovered that the imbecile has been telling the press that he had already signed me on. We are to meet tomorrow. I intend to be quite firm with him. Adding insult to injury, a lunatic German has been at the hotel, has been after me ever since he learned my name. Again and again I encounter him by chance, The man is obsessed with fairy tales. Every time as well, he asks me if I know anything of South Sea folklore, of great statues in the pack ice, and of lost island nations. I have told him no. I know nothing of Sasat, or black-toothed savages, or a man named Pym, or of anything south of the Antarctic Circle, but ice, whales, and misery. If he approaches me again, so help me, Philip, I shall knock him... I'm assuming I'm
senseless.
The fuck out.
It is not bad enough that Starkweather has been using my name or something my name in the papers. He has been using it to attract his crews as well. He has even managed to sign one of the boys from the Arkham and the Lady Margaret on the strength of it. How he got any of the Arkham crew, I shall never know. None of us who were on that voyage are ever likely to forget the things that were said about those murdered men, or the hands of the poor boy, mad boy Danforth, or the howls of the poor mad boy Danforth. The things he whispered to me toward the end, when he knew where he was, still haunt me. God only knows what he told the others. I'm going to do what I can to convince, and I can't see the rest because, to convince, that's all it says.
It's an unfinished letter. It's an unfinished letter, yeah.
Do you think Starkweather went ape shit and killed him himself?
I think it's that weirdo that passed the note to Captain Sanctum. I reckon maybe that's the same weirdo that was following the captain. It was probably him.
This mysterious German.
Is Sothcott a German name?
Doesn't sound like it.
It could be.
I'm wondering if the German that he's talking about is the same one who sent us the note.
Could be. It was kind of like broken English, if I remember.
Well, not only that.
Certainly strangely phrased, yes.
Yeah, it's the way it was phrased.
Well, if this is a revelation to know that... That our captain didn't want to go and wasn't intending on going under any circumstances.
So the question is had he met with Starkweather before he got offed? Because if Starkweather knew beforehand that he wasn't going to do it, then they might already have a captain in line. If not, who knows, because I'm sure that Starkweather's been rather busy since this all happened.
Do you think Starkweather was maybe trying to, you know, strong-arm him here? Because obviously he didn't want to do this.
You don't
strong-arm somebody by clubbing him in the skull until they die. It just kind of defeats the purpose.
You keep pressuring on. I imagine it might have been more of a friendly pressuring, but obviously, it was annoying the hell out of the captain.
Well, there's no other captains familiar with Daroo. There's five other expeditions. That means there's five experienced captains heading down there. So the chances is that's probably why Starkweather was so desperate to get hold of the guy.
I can't help but wonder, given the sort of out-of-the-way area where he died on the docks, do you think perhaps he's gone there to meet someone?
It's possible, like I said, that crazy German comes to mind.
Crazy German probably tried to persuade him, and it turned into a fight. He might not have intended to kill him.
And who is this Philip? And why is the letter unfinished?
There's the other name that I came across in the notes that said Gerald Brachmann too. That doesn't sound
Brachmann. Sounds like it might be German.
Sounds German.
I don't know if it's the sort of journey we want to take with a rookie captain.
There's also some strange codes, almost like GR7738, Philip 1030, and then there was a mention of a bar down the road called the Purple Cup.
Could the well, you mentioned it before, but could those other numbers be telephone numbers?
They look to be, to you guys. So
this day and age, it would be like Grubbins 43942 is my phone number, or yeah.
Yeah. 8675309?
Murray Hill. No, because it was always like, if you watch old TV shows, Murray Hill, you know, 7492. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, those are probably phone numbers. And there was some sort of, what was the one with, I'm assuming that you're relating these things to.
Yes.
What's the one with, like, all the times, one after the other? Was it Philip?
A. Lexington.
Oh, well, that's Acacia Lexington, obviously.
What's that? Hotel?
That's the sorry my for my language, but the bitch who's the other female. Who's,
oh, right.
The non-scientist.
Like it's almost like he was watching him, or...
She probably offered him money to do the same job.
Well, the big question is do they have another captain lined up? Or you know am what? I piloting the ship?
You know what? I think it's time that I... Do you know how to pilot a ship?
I have pilot.
Well, yeah, but it's pilot airplane, pilot ship, pilot...
I used to wheelbarrow once. I can do it.
I'm going to go see if I can find more Starkweather and find out what the fudge is going on.
I'm not a ship's captain, but I did stay in a Holiday Inn Express last night.
I'm not a real doctor. All right, I'm going to go upstairs and find out what the hell's going on. Does anybody want to come with me?
I'll go.
I would like to point out that I did once play Captain Hook in my school's amateur production of Peter Pan, which I think gives me as much right to be captain as anyone else.
Well, as long as you know which direction south is, I think that we're going to hit the South Pole.
It's that way.
At some point.
It would be nice to land at a point that we know where we are, but rather than
it's not the going south that matters, is it? It is the knowing where we are. That's the whole skill of the job, isn't it, Rid?
Yeah. Well, we've got the map there.
We've spent two days in Chile.
You know, if we get lost, we just ask directions from somebody.
Ask directions for the signpost.
What kind of self-respecting man are you asking for directions?
I didn't say I was going to make the ship go. I'm just... All right, let's go find out what the hell's going on. So we're going to march upstairs.
This army.
Quite honestly, I'd rather talk to Moore than Starkweather, but if
get some pitchforks,
if there is no Moore, then we'll talk to Starkweather.
Well, the office is... Do you have to give a marching order? Order for this?
Decisive action needs
no.
to be taken. Otherwise, you know.
What were you saying, Sean?
There's a lot of people on the fifth still, but not as many as before.
All right. Well, we're more important than they are.
You can get to Mr. Starkweather's office for sure.
Excuse me.
Just grab him and throw him out of the way.
Use your hands like a cow catcher and just.
Pardon me. Terribly. Sorry.
It's like
he's very busy, but he sees you coming. He says, "Gentlemen," and he looks right at Elmer and says, "Hello, Elmer."
Everybody in the room, we're going to close the door. Get out. Everybody out except for us and Starkweather.
Allow them. He allows you to shut the door.
All right. Mr. Starkweather, what is going on? We really need to know.
I know as much as you do, Dr. Lindenbrook.
Well, I hope that you know way more than we know. Have you found another captain to captain the ship?
I have my eye on another Let's
stop just standing there not saying anything.
Has he had a stroke?
I have my eye on another sailing master. Can you not hear me?
Well, we heard that, but yes, you froze right when you were saying it.
Sorry. I have my eye on another sailing master, and we believe to be signing him immediately.
All right. So we're still on. We're still going, yes?
Absolutely. Mr. Douglas was not a linchpin to this expedition.
All right. Well, we're sorry that he died.
As we all are.
I don't know if there's anything else we really need to know at that point, but you guys have any questions?
Well, you're here.
Sooner we set sail, the better.
Yes. Well, when are we due to sail?
9th.
The 9th is still the plan.
And it's the 7th right now?
The 6th right now. Yes. Tomorrow's is the 7th now, is it?
Tomorrow's the 7th. Tomorrow's the 7th, sorry.
Oh, I thought we spent the night and got up and had breakfast and lunch and did all that again.
No, today. Oh, I'm sorry. Today is the 6th. Still.
Yeah. Okay, so it's the 6th.
End of the 6th.
I don't know. I guess...
Have you found anything out, gentlemen?
Well, we want you to understand that we've become, over the course of the last week or so, a pretty tight-knit group. And we are beginning to rely on one another. So we're aware of some of the stuff that's gone on with Elmer but rest assured, it's not gone beyond us.
Understood. I appreciate connectivity and loyalty.
We're also aware that Captain Gerald, was it Captain? No, Captain. Crap.
Captain Douglas?
Captain Douglas. The Captain Douglas was not fond of the idea of going.
Oh, he dithered occasionally. We were absolutely assured that he was going to sign with us and would be happy to return to the South.
Elmer, should you show him the note? No? All right, I didn't say that out loud. Well, if everything is still on, I suppose that alleviates my worries.
I will show him if you force me to.
Good to come out.
How about the other little note? The threat. If it was a threat. All right, I won't offer any information. You guys can offer it if you want. Thanks.
Anytime, gentlemen. Mr. Jones, could you stick around for a moment so I can speak with you privately?
Who?
Mr. Jones.
Me and Mr. Jones.
Dr. Jones.
Someone's in trouble. Something
going on.
Guys got me in trouble.
He sort of escorts the rest of you at the door, thanks you for your help, looks down the hallway at the police.
Peer throws, he pushes us out the door.
Shuts the door and says, Mr. Jones, some information was between you and I and Mr. Moore. How much did you tell them?
Well, the whole thing came up about the murder, and I kind of panicked. I didn't know what to do or who to turn to, so I turned to my friends.
Did you tell anyone outside of your group?
I don't think so. Last day has been rather hectic for me, and I don't think I've told anyone.
I'll just assume this was loyalty to the expedition. Thank you very much for your assistance to so far. Did you find anything out that I might be of interest to?
Trying to think, the answer I think is going to be no, but I will definitely keep you posted if I hear anything.
All right, if you do, please keep your ears out. We'd like to know what's going on. This murder's put me off quite drastically, and these police, I can't even tolerate their presence right now.
I think that's where I am. I feel I don't know which way to turn. I've never dealt with murder before, and this is a bit overwhelming.
Oh, I've dealt with death before, and I've dealt with murder, but I the police are more intolerable than all of that. They're interfering. But, well, thank you for your assistance.
Yep. So,
have a nice evening.
Thank you.
He just opens the door and lets you pop back out again. And, of course, the cop is right there and comes in to speak to him and shuts the door behind him.
Well, Albert, I didn't mean to put you right in the middle of it. I hope you didn't get in trouble.
I don't think so, but I don't know. And that's why I didn't want to give him the note, because...
He likes you.
I don't know. We'll see.
Well, I'm quite happy with you being the group spokesman.
You know, I think I'm with you. I don't really trust Starkweather.
Yeah, I don't know if you're going to do with him on the personal level, but since I'm quite happy with him, what's to do with all that.
Well,
he seems to be all over the place. Like, one minute he tells me it's a secret, and the next minute he's down there announcing it to everybody and talking to the press. I can't peg the guy.
It's probably that 7 pounds of cocaine that's in his locker.
I'm guilty.
Well, he has 3 days to get all of his shit together here, you know? So, I know people are going to start being really superstitious if something else happens now.
Trouble coming, please. Whoops. Didn't say that.
I'm also concerned because we're putting our lives in this guy's hands.
Yeah, Elmer, you know how to swim, don't you? I just said, Elmer, you know how to swim, don't you?
I've been swimming down at the lake, but never in a big ocean.
We're going to get scurvy, and there's going to be a huge mutiny.
Yes, never in an Arctic ocean with icebergs and stuff.
We're going to have a mutiny in Fleet Peru.
When you swim in an Arctic ocean, you don't have to swim for very long.
No.
About 30 seconds, just about
the most. Oh, that's good. That's good to know.
Then you warm up. And then you die.
You warm up inside the belly of a killer whale.
Wait, nobody said anything about killer whales being on this show, on this ship. I'm sorry, that was a weird thing to say.
Where did you put it?
Yeah, they're right there beside the sour cream.
They eat a lot of sour cream.
I thought those were potatoes.
Oh, they're canned.
Hang on. You're a biologist, and you can't tell the difference between sour cream and a killer whale.
I am a potato
and a killer whale.
I am a paleontologist. All I ever look at is bones.
All right, so you can tell the difference between the bones of a potato and the bones of a killer whale.
Well,
potatoes have an exoskeleton.
That's correct. Yes.
Like a bee.
Maybe sound like something out of
Avia. And orcas are actually porpoises. They're not whales at all.
I don't like potatoes. I like bananas because they have
whale can't swallow anything larger than a grapefruit.
Well, as I say, that a killer whale is not a whale.
Oh, killer whale, yeah.
That can swallow something quite substantial.
Blue whale can't swallow anything larger than a grapefruit.
I'm gonna. This conversation's gone a bit weird. I'm gonna step outside for a minute because I think, to be honest with you, I need a bit of fresh air, and I think we're all getting secondary smoke from that unusual cigarette that Sparky's smoking.
No, that's only in the radio room. I don't do it in other people's rooms.
All right. What time is it?
Right now, it is approximately 5 o'clock in the evening.
Oh. That means Joe. It seems like these days just drag on weeks and weeks and weeks long.
They do.
Oh, sound.
Sean, can I do a sanity roll? I'm feeling over my head and confused. And yes. I don't know.
You realize you win, you're going to be stuck with.
You always can do what it's the moment.
We need to go. What's going on? Yes, I failed for that one, too.
He's going to back out now.
I just got an idea.
I just feel a little crazy today.
Oh, just a moment, guys. You see someone walking by with a newspaper, and they say, oh, I guess the funeral for the captain's on the 8th. They drop it on a table beside Mr. Starkweather's door. It's his newspaper. It's open to the, and it says, death announcements. Jeremiah Barnes Douglas, commander of the United States Merchant Marine, retired, age 50 years, died September 5th in New York City, so yesterday. Douglas served as an officer in the Merchant Marine during the Great War. He retired from service as a commander in 1926 after 25 years. Then he captained his own vessel, the Arkham, notably on an expedition to Antarctica in 1930-31. Retired from active life in 1932 to his home in New Hampshire. Known as JB to his friends and family. Quiet, forthright, stout friend to all, survived by his brother, Philip. Graveside Memorial Service, September 8th.
So his brother is Philip.
Ah.
Oh, okay.
St. Bridget Cemetery in Brooklyn. All right.
Well, then.
I'm thinking that if we're all really stressed right now, we should go to a bar. How about the Purple Cup?
Sounds like the kind of low establishment frequented by sailors and other maritime folk. I don't know what I mean by other maritime folk. When mermaids.
It sounds like an opium bar.
Deep hands. Where are you going tonight? I'm going to the Purple Cup. Really? Oh, I better come with you. Why? One of these days. Okay.
Perhaps it's one of those. Perhaps it's one of those places.
That's how Americans speak. I know.
It is.
I've watched the films. Hey, buddy. How you doing, you great palooka?
Pal?
You need to do an entire campaign with that voice.
What do you mean, copper?
We're going to lose sanity by the time we get there, aren't we?
Pal, right on the kisser.
All right, let's do something.
Well, as you're preparing to do something, Captain Sugden, you notice something is in your pocket that wasn't there before, and it is another note.
Oh.
And here is the note.
What? How on earth has that got into my pocket?
If someone can do that, because it'll just screw up if I do.
I shall just put on my reading glasses and read this mysterious note. It says, "Dear," I left that bit blank, "you must listen to this warning. There will be no others. After this, only action remains. I do not expect any of you to understand my reasons, but all that is necessary is that you act. Consider this a threat, if you like, a most earnest threat. The expedition must not sail south. Captain Douglas was only the first to die. If you persist in your brave, blind hopes, you will all perish. Only those who turn back are safe. I hope that you will be among them. Let the dead lie peacefully with their secrets. They are the only ones who are beyond pain.
Nothing awaits upon the ice but suffering and a bitter end that I will do anything to help you avoid. Yes. Yes, help. Even death is a blessing compared to what lies in wait. I suppose you will blame me for everything. I don't mind, even though it's not true. There are forces at work here that you do not understand, and I have to be content with that. The deadliest sin sometimes is in the understanding, and the most damned are those who explain. Please, I urge you, turn away. Tell the others, for your own sake, for all of us, turn back while you can. There is nothing more that I dare say. Most sincerely, a better friend than you will ever know.
Okay, let's go home, Andrew.
Seems like quite an insistent chap, doesn't he?
Wait, it suddenly strikes me. There are members of this crew who were on the other ship. Weren't we just told that? Wasn't that what it said in the letter? That,
yeah.
His letter to Philip, yes. So there were the other men.
So Douglas wasn't the only person on this ship who went to that thing. That means that there's somebody else on this ship who also went, who probably feels the same way, and they're our saboteur.
Or a stowaway.
No, I think it's a saboteur.
We've got a lot of equipment on board. There's a lot of places.
Yeah, but I can't see one of his old crewmates having gone through all that with Douglas and then bumping him off.
Well, I don't think that they bumped him off. I think that might be something else, but somebody obviously could get close enough to you that you didn't think, who is that stranger, that they could put something in your pocket. Now, if it was any one of these crew, we see them constantly all day long. And we bump into them. We bump all the time. This is not it's a ship, you know. The corridors are only this wide. You bump into people constantly. Somebody on this ship is the saboteur. Somebody on this ship put that in your pocket. And they've got to be somebody who was on that other ship.
Well, there was quite a crowd down at the dock as well.
Can we find out who on this ship was also on that other ship?
Could be that Elmer guy. He's pretty shifty.
No.
Well, the Arkham and the other one. The Miskatonic, yes. Well, yes.
There should be a way of getting a ship's manifest of all the people who were on that, you know, hands included.
I love manifests.
Yes, let's do some more paperwork.
Well, I have a clipboard. Dr. Lindenbrook, could you make a knowledge or a no roll? No roll.
Sure, I can make no roll.
No, make a no roll.
39. That's that was that knowledge or
idea?
Idea makes more sense.
That's 39. It's almost a half. It's almost a hard, but it's not
quite. Okay. Well, anything even close is good. Due to your work at Miskatonic, you know that there are records at the university.
That's true.
Tons of records, including ship manifests and crew lists.
I think that I can get those. What? How many days do we have?
So we got three days.
3 days.
I'm in radio contact with the university as well. If you want, I can message one of my mates to make sure the stuff is put aside for you when you get there.
Well, I'm not going to go there, but I can phone my secretary back at the university and have her put together a list and telegram it to us.
I'd rather do that than translate it going through Morse code.
Yeah, it would take forever.
Yeah.
She usually works till 6, you do know that, and it's about 5:15 right now.
All right, I'm going to call her really quick. Hold on. So I get on my cell phone and I...
hold it like that.
We've got crappy coverage in this fifth floor.
Well, don't you have to hold it over your head, and then you crank the little crank on it and say, hello, operator.
Your telephone.
Yeah, so I'm going to go find a phone and call her. probably from the doc, and explain to her exactly that. Hello, I need a manifest of all the crew that was on, that came back from the Antarctic expedition, blah, blah, blah. And you gotta get that to me by tomorrow morning, hopefully by tomorrow morning.
Yes, she does answer. She's there, and she can arrange for that. It's not
all right. A problem. Wonderful. She's get right on.
You know, it strikes me that we should probably not be splitting up when we've been threatened twice. We should probably kind of stay together as a group.
Hmm.
Makes sense.
And know that somebody bumping, keep an eye out on people. You know, somebody look concerned for you. Somebody looks like they're, you know, they're, now that we know what we're looking for, I think that there's going to be little giveaways. Somebody who purposely bumps into you, or
why has he chosen to give the notes to me, though? That's what I don't understand. I mean,
luck of the draw.
Strange choice. I mean, I'm not a key member of the expedition. I'm just a mountaineer. I'm just here.
Well, that is probably why, because it would be hard to approach a key member of the expedition, so they just go to the people who are working the expedition. They know we're on the expedition, and we're not like just ship's crew. We're important key elements of the expedition, so it's easy to get to us, whereas it is harder to get to Moore, and Moore's not going to care anyway.
Who are you bunking with?
I'm not entirely sure. I've just been moving my kit in. I haven't met my roommate yet. Cabin mate.
Because your cabin mate would have access to the clothes that you've left here.
Very true. Yes, I should endeavor to find that out, I think, immediately.
Well, these crowded hallways, though, it wouldn't be much of an effort to slip a note to someone.
Well, we've had to push through quite a few crowds on the dock, and then getting into the room earlier on. We had people pushing past us in that narrow corridor there. I mean, in ample opportunities all day.
Yeah. Things change, though, when you know that that's what's happening. Of course, he did say that that would be the last note, so. I don't know. Somebody doesn't want us to go, and my guess is that it's somebody from that other boat.
Or this mysterious German.
You know, I was reading through that letter again. Adding insult to injury, a lunatic German here at the hotel. Almost makes it sound as though he was staying there, doesn't it?
Uh-huh.
That's why I'm thinking that Anthony Southcott.
Right, right.
I wonder if there's any Southcotts in the book.
There was also a mention in that letter, Douglas referred to the other man on board as being murdered. I wonder, I mean, it's kind of a stretch, but I wonder if someone's angry, like a family member or a friend who lost someone on the last expedition.
I would think that if there was a family member, they would be anxious for us to recover the bodies.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, if they were angry, they'd be angry at crew of the previous expedition.
But
why would they be angry at us? We had nothing to do with the previous expedition.
Well, it definitely sounds like whoever it was on the expedition, because they're afraid of all this, you know, spooky stuff, and so it makes it sound like they've encountered it before. thus they were on the original expedition.
Wasn't there talk of a doctor who'd been on the expedition who went to Lally?
Yeah. Dr. Lake?
I believe that was the chap's name, yes.
Yeah, Dr. Lake.
But I mean, you know, if he was on the previous expedition, then he could just write an article about it, couldn't he? I mean, he wouldn't have to start dropping letters in. Also, there are people here who would know him. If there are people on board who were on the previous expedition, and he was wandering around dropping notes in people's pockets, I mean, someone would recognize him as someone who was on the previous expedition, and imagine in seeing him here, they'd imagine that he was here with reason, and would probably try and engage him in conversation. It wouldn't be an easy way of sneaking around unseen. It seems odd.
Is Lake still alive?
I know someone said something about him being in an institution or something.
He's dead. Lake is dead.
It's Dyer that's still alive.
Danforth? I think he was the one that went crazy.
Yeah, I think Danforth went crazy and Dyer.
Dyer's still alive.
Dyer is still alive. But these are famous people. You would think that if they, yeah, like you say, if they walked around, lots of people would recognize them. Hell, lots of people recognize Elmer.
An academic isn't going to have to slip notes into people's pockets, is he? I mean, he's just going to come straight out and address things in the paper and say, well, they shouldn't go. It was dangerous. We had all these problems.
Unless he's crazy.
No, that's certainly possible. They did. They came back kind of shell-shocked.
Lots of conspiracy theories and stuff like that. I mean, you know, he's not going to come right out and say it. He wants it to be mysterious, you know, because he doesn't want to be a part of it. There could be a million things. But I'm definitely of the opinion that it's somebody who was on the first expedition.
Well, it was certainly a disastrous expedition. Not much we do know.
Oh,
because think about the things he said, that he would rather kill us than to have us go through the tortures of what was ahead of us. So he's obviously terrified of the stuff that's going to be there. But now here's the question. If he's so terrified of what they experienced on the previous expedition, then that should mean that once we get on board the ship and get going, he shouldn't follow.
Well, actually, I think you hit something really, really important. He seems to know, or at least thinks that he knows, what's ahead of us, which really limits it down to just one person. It could only be Dyer, the guy who's still alive. Danforth.
You said that there was people from the manifest that were on the previous crew of the ship.
Right. Except that the crew of the ship, what they were complaining about was the howls of the madman on the way back and so forth. Right. And as soon as they whispered, this guy's talking like he's been there and he's seen things.
Right. And honestly, don't think that the ship's crew would be the issue, because once the ship landed, they never left the ship. They stayed on board the ship, so they didn't encounter anything, like you were saying. They didn't encounter it.
Is it Dyer or Danforth that we're talking about?
Danforth was pilot graduate student of the expedition.
Okay, and he went crazy?
He and Dyer explored after the events that killed Blake.
And one of them came back completely insane, and one of them has given us the...
Yeah. The Dyer came back and had issues, so to speak.
Okay. Danforth less so, but... Okay. We need to find out where these two people are. And I bet you we'll find that one is locked up in a nut house and the other one is nearby.
And I still don't think we should discount this German.
Yeah, how did this crazy German guy know all these details?
Well, what did he say the crazy German guy was after? Or what did he say the crazy German guy wanted?
Something, he was asking questions about someone called Pim and Pim. Some lost land. And
he basically was harassing him with questions.
Yes, but he was asking questions to learn about it. The person who's threatening us apparently already knows about it.
Game Master.
So we have two different people here.
Yes. I have fairly decent occult knowledge. Because I was at Miskatonic. Can I do a roll on Pim?
Absolutely. That
sounds familiar. Oh, why did I roll dice?
Hey, you can if you want.
Well, I got 34. Which is I've got 45 in occult. So it sounds really familiar to me, Pim.
You know of a story written in 1837, published by Edgar Allan Poe. However, rumor has it that it's not a story. It's the narrative of Arthur Gordon Pym of Nantucket.
Yeah.
It does speak of travels to southern regions and mysterious things. In fact, I'll send you a link right here. Peace.
Well, I can just grab the book off my shelf and read it.
Yeah, I just mean for everyone else.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, Pim. And he later made that Ant-Man suit and invented that robot. No, yeah. The Edgar Allan Poe story. There's this. What is the reference in the letter? What does it say? To Pim.
Well, doesn't he mention Salal in the letter? That's from Poe, isn't it?
I thought it said salad. Oh, I would say salad.
Salal is also Poe.
Yes, that's from the narrative of Arthur Gordon Pym.
And the same black-toothed savages. Same story.
Black-toothed savages. Well, yes, because even their teeth's black, isn't it? Yes.
I think that the German is a ruse, though, because, like I said, he's asking as in he's interested in, whereas in the person who's sending us the letters is threatening us, don't go. You don't want to know what's over there. Whereas in the German guy is like, hey, what's over there? I would like to know. What about this? What about that? I could be wrong.
No, but, I mean, it could be Danforth or Dyer just walking around, you know, and doing this, and we never noticed who it is. And you'd be surprised how easy it is to walk amongst people and not be seen if you act like a crew member.
Well, that's just it. We wouldn't notice them because we've never met them before, but I'm sure that a lot of the people, the crew, would probably notice them.
But isn't there a bit in that Poe book, it's a long time since I've read it, but I think there's a bit in it about passages in mountains with odd writing on the walls. Which seemed, now I can't help but wonder, does this mean that simply some crazy German found the reminiscence of Poe's work in the reports from the previous expedition?
Conspiracy theorists are crazy people.
That sounds crazy.
It could just be a random lunatic by the sound of it.
And there's all that stuff about, what was the name of it? Shangri-La? Lost Horizons? I don't know if that book's been written yet.
I can't see anything changing our minds.
They're making a film of that, you know.
Well, I thought you hated films.
Well, no, I mean, I'm not a fan of films, but I just very little to do other than read they've just written a novel, hasn't he? That James Hilton bloke just wrote a novel about that. I mean, I don't know if they're going to make a film about it. They might do in the future, several years from now. I have no idea.
When they've invented colour.
Colour?
That's impossible.
They've
already done colour with the first thing.
Yeah, Freeze Green, didn't he? He did that thing where he drove around England and Scotland and showed off his colour process. I remember seeing that last time I was back home.
We have some very interesting mysteries to solve here.
Indeed. I mean,
well, it's getting. Well,
I think you're right that there's someone on board who's part of this, definitely.
Yeah, there's got to be.
How can there not be? Yes.
Where are you guys going to be heading? Because it's getting close to the time we should probably call it.
Well, where are we at the moment? We're at the hotel.
I'm thinking of staying overnight on the boat, to be honest.
Weren't we going to head to the Purple Turtle, the Purple Cup? I don't know why I said turtle.
Quite honestly, it's a better name than Purple Cup.
Or helmet.
Perhaps it's an opium den.
Maybe
jazz bar.
Because the way things are going on this, I could do with it.
All right.
The pipe of poppy.
So, can we assume then that we go to the bar and we end up going to sleep and then we can pick up on day 7?
Well, I'll just assume that you go to the bar and we'll end it here and we'll just start up at the bar before the evening ends.
Okay.
Okay.
That sounds cool. All right. Well, our players included Jerry Bryant, Greg Malcolm, Mick Swan, Simon Ward, Jeff Wilkins, and myself, with Sean Little as the Keeper of the Secrets. Our musical intro, Sleight of Hand, was composed by James Brett and is used with his permission. We're currently producing 4 shows a week with music and sound effects added in post-production in order to create a richer listener experience. We provide audio-only versions of our shows free for you to download from Podbean or iTunes. If you are enjoying our broadcast, please consider visiting our Podbean account. Your contributions help us to offset the time and the money spent organizing and maintaining our gaming venue. Feel free to send us comments on the show. We'd love to hear from you. If you enjoyed our broadcast, please give us a thumbs up and subscribe to our channel for updates on our latest shows. We're also going to be adding t-shirts. We have a few of them for the Arcane Society and a few for the Into the Darkness. You can find those on Teespring/stores/Into the Darkness, but there'll be a link down below. This is Tom Rayleigh inviting you to journey with us once again into the darkness for another adventure into the universe of H.P. Lovecraft and the Call of Cthulhu role-playing game. Until next time, good luck and good gaming.